Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama, and you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my roster. You know I just been.
Happy Tuesday. Can't believe we're playing this again. Tuesday is the only day of the week.
Wow. It's almost like this is like how we can, you know, we can actually chart our time by these 2 weeks because they go by so fast.
I know.
It's so crazy.
Something else. But I'm glad to have this program, you know, this evening because of, you know, the content of what we're going to talk about, because it's this concept is something that we should all look at, but from a lot of different angles. So I'm looking forward to tonight's conversation.
Yep, sounds good to me. And it's amazing because I feel like this is only the This is only really the second year that has been such a big deal. Like banks are closed. My job lets me off early on Friday. Like, this is the second year, right? And it was because of everything that happened last summer with George Floyd and everything.
Well, actually, I think that what catapulted this, no matter how you may feel about
was
the former
Trump?
President, yes, yeah. It was. You
oh,
have
wow.
to because he was going to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, on Juneteenth.
Yep, I remember
and
that.
That brought attention to both of those days. That is why Tulsa has been in the news, and that is why. So, you know, no matter what, you know, sometimes gifts come to you through people you least expect would give you a gift.
Take the best and leave the rest.
That is it.
Oh, man.
That's right, Condi K. Take the gifts as they come from whomever give it to you. Just take it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Exactly. And move on.
But I celebrated Juneteenth for years. I didn't necessarily focus on it like you do, like with Kwanzaa and things like this, but Juneteenth and Tulsa were two things that I was aware of. I taught Tulsa in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this is something that we've been aware of, but the country now is aware of it.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
You
exactly.
see? And
that's
what makes it powerful. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, that's how it looks. That's how it is. And it's just a very interesting go ahead, Sasha.
No. I was gonna say for you to, I would like you, because of course you are the historian of you know, you the master teacher, as they call you. I would like you to go over, like, just give us a overview of what Juneteenth is.
Yes, I'd like to give you an overview, and then I'd like to talk about as it relates to us today. What is its importance today? And
okay.
Juneteenth, okay, Emancipation Proclamation, 1863, Abraham Lincoln, the president at the time, emancipated Africans. He freed Africans. But the Civil War was going on. And so when the Civil War ended in 1865, and there were and Africans who had fought in the war, Africans who were in an area of the country where they would be aware of being free, in Galveston, Texas is an island. Galveston is an island off of the coast of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's considered part of Texas, but it's an island.
That's interesting.
And Captain Granger, Union Army arrived in Galveston with a proclamation of the freedom of African people. And it was dated June 19th. I believe it was June 19th, 1865, whatever the date of June. Because, again, Juneteenth is used because we don't really know, but the document was signed. And it is that document that when Africans in Galveston found out they were free and had been free for 2 years, by the way, but the European Americans, the enslavers did not tell them that they were free. So they were going on like they were enslaved. So when Captain Granger got there and told them, it was like, it was, by many, we call it Jubilee Day. Some people call it Emancipation Day. Because that date, beyond the Emancipation Proclamation, there were still Africans that were enslaved. Because white folk didn't tell black people, you know, you're free. They wanted them to continue to work on the plantations and do what was necessary. And so Africans, when they found out that they were free according to the law, it was a celebration, and they recorded this day. There were many Africans that were already free, as in their minds, that is. They knew. But in Galveston, the island, the Africans that were enslaved there didn't. And that is Juneteenth Day. But now, check this out. Here's how I look at Juneteenth Day. I look at Juneteenth Day like the Wizard of Oz. And I use this, and I don't know if you all remember this, but remember in McDonald's when they had the toys that they would give, like, in the Happy Meal, and remember they had a series on the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I collected three at a time. So I used to bring my little figurines. You know, they had the crow, they had the Tin Man, they had the lion, they had Dorothy, and I think they had the wizard. And I used to tell this story of Juneteenth this way. The Wizard of Oz. Think in terms of Africans. Even to this day, we are enslaved mentally. We are enslaved mentally. When I say that, not all of us, but there are many of us who are enslaved by many different means, whether it's a religion, whether it's a social organization, whether it's a club that you belong to. Your mind is dedicated to that. And the decisions you make in your life depends on what that group or organization says about whatever it is. And we are free. That is why Buchmann said the night before the revolution of Haiti to cast aside your white gods, you are free. Quite frankly, we have always been free. The European law doesn't enslave you. No man's law can make a human being to enslave them. None of them. But if it's in your mind that that law matters, there's a brother from Puerto Rico. His name is Don Pedro Abisu Campos. And what this brother said, if you can check my Spanish, cuando la tiranía es la ley, la revolución es en orden, which means when tyranny is law, revolution is order. And so this civil war represented the revolution against tyranny. And so when Africans you want it in
when
Spanish?
Tyranny is law, when
revolution is order.
When
tyranny is law, revolution is order. And that brother's name is, Don. Don is a respectful term. A woman is called Doña. A man is called Don, like in the mafia, Don Corleone. They don't come to me with
what
respect.
Was his name?
Don Pedro Albizu, Albizu, Campos, Campos.
Don Pedro.
Albizu.
Z as in zebra.
Z as in zebra.
Uh-huh.
U. Albizu.
Uh-huh.
Campos. Campos, C-A-M-P-O-S.
Okay.
He's a brilliant scholar. He was a brilliant scholar. He was a Puerto Rican revolutionary, and he set the tone. His history is quite something. See, this is why, as a Pan-Africanist, I see him as one, as what we call compadre. He is one with
mm-hmm.
me. He is family. And for what he did for his people in Puerto Rico and for black people worldwide, brilliant, brilliant brother. He died in 1965, and I believe he was 77 when he passed away. But the idea of Juneteenth is that psychologically, when someone tells a perfect lie, the truth is unbelievable. And so for Juneteenth, we were programmed to be enslaved so that when somebody said, okay, you're free, then all of a sudden we thought we were free, like the Wizard of Oz. The Scarecrow was looking for a brain. The Tin Man was looking for a heart. Lion was looking for courage. And Dorothy just wanted to go home. But they were seeking somebody else to tell them or to give them something. And at the end of the movie, Wizard of Oz, the Scarecrow came to realize that he always had a brain. He was smart. He devised a plan. The Tin Man always had a heart by what he did. And the Lion had courage because of what he did. And all Dorothy had to do to go home was click her heels 3 times and say, I want to go home.
Mm.
So, but it was only when the Wizard told them that they believed they had it. Up until then, they didn't think they had it.
That is crazy.
So
that also sounds like religion.
But that's the way it is today for us also. We're waiting for someone to free us, be it our religions, the leaders of our social clubs. We're all seeking. It's called the Messiah complex and ego starvation.
Mm.
And I look at Juneteenth as a phenomenal example of the fact that we have always been great. We don't realize how great we are. There are times I do presentations and black folk don't believe me. And they argue with me when I'm telling them how great they are. They have been programmed to feel so inferior that when someone come along and tell you that you're great, you tell them you're a lie. Carter G. Woodson wrote in his book, Miseducation of the Negro, he said it took him 30 years to undo what Harvard had done to him. He was one of the early black graduates of Harvard. And he said that going to Harvard did such damage to his black mind. It took him 30 years to outdo it. He's the father of what they call Black History Month. But the other thing that he said, and then I'll stop there, he said, we have been so used to going in the back door of the white man's house that if we ever went to a white man's house and he didn't have a back door, we'd build one just to get in.
Wow.
Damn.
Your generation has such a wonderful opportunity. Your generation is making changes. Your generation ain't taking mess. And you have the wherewithal to do it. When you look at what's going on from a certain perspective, you'll understand there's nothing that you cannot do. And nobody can do anything for you if you don't do it for yourself first. Don't look outside for your redemption. Your redemption, your genius, like the Scarecrow, you were born with the brain. You were born with the heart. You were born with the courage. and you were born with the ability to be home whenever you wanted to be. Mm. Don't let anybody make you think, vote for me and I'll set you free. You are already free.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe what they say, that they can set you free, then that means that you are already enslaved.
Wow. All right, show's over. That's it. Wow.
No, the show just began because now it's time to hear from y'all. I just set the pace.
Just looking at it from what you said, it's amazing that so much of what was said and done and experienced in the past is what we're still living in. Like, there's so many people that are still living within mental slavery. And even the Bob Marley song, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Like, you really, you know, when you look at the concept, that's the only way certain people stay at the top and stay in charge. And we have to realize who we are. And that's the thing. If we realize exactly who we are, if we realize that we were the ones who create everything, we're the ones who should be given the credit. Like, we passed by all of those million-dollar houses today. Those houses were not given to us like they were given to other people for pennies on the dollar back in the day. Those houses were stolen from us. We built those houses. We've done so much in society, but yet because we're told we haven't done nothing, we ain't worth nothing, it will never be worth anything, we believe them. And that is where our mental slavery takes us. We don't realize who we are, you know, and if we're not allowed at the quote-unquote table, guess what? We're the one who made the table. So if you don't want us at the table, we'll dismantle that and take the shit ourselves. Like, come on. Like, we have to realize who we are, and we have to not only realize who we are, but teach our youth who they are. And that's the most important thing that we have to take from this. The reason that we are where we are and we have the potential to do is because of our ancestors who fought, died, like, were tortured. And we now have to realize that they did this for us so that we can be better.
And that's why when people talk about we're not our ancestors, like, people make comments like, we're not our ancestors, we'll fight you. Like, it's not those words, but I've seen things along those lines. We are nowhere near as capable as our ancestors were. They were the ones. They're the ones not doing anything. We're the ones sitting and allowing people to treat us any type of way. They were the ones that fought. They were the ones that actually did something. They were the ones that went out in the middle. The reason why a lot of music is out is because we had to have a way to communicate so that nobody knew that we were, not us personally, but our ancestors were starting revolutions, rebellions and revolutions. But, like, that's one of the reasons why certain music exists. We think they're Negro spirituals, but they're actually communications saying where we were going to meet each other, you know, at what time and what we were going to be wearing. Like, we're the ones that are not doing what we're supposed to do. They've laid the groundwork, and then we just are doing nothing about it and acting like everybody owes us something. And while that may be true, we have to do something. And I know it's all mental, but it's what we said. It's mental slavery. If we do not free our brains, we're not going to be able to take the baton, and we're going to lose the race. We have to do something and make things happen. Like, there were so many people that made things happen and stood up against
with
people
no excuse.
And fought against they, it. Right. With
they
no,
had a lot less
fear.
Than what we have. At least we're able to walk down the street without worrying about that, like, being hung or being abused or being, you know, mistreated. Like, we're allowed to do certain things. We're given the luxury of, you know, not having to fear for our lives necessarily on a daily basis, and not talking about, like, other situations that may arise that we have to fear for, but just the fact that we're able to walk down the street and, you know, and for the most part, be unscathed, as opposed to those ancestors that were accosted and abused. And, you know, look what happened in Tulsa. Look what happened to Amadou Diallo. Look what happened to, I always forget his name, the one that he was like 14 and he whistled, he was accused of whistling at a white woman.
Emmett Till.
Like, look at all of those that, you know, look at how society has changed. We have no excuse. So we really have to support one another first and foremost, like recognize who we are and support one another. If we supported our black businesses, if we kept, you know, our money within, even if we kept a portion of our money within our society, just imagine how amazing everything would be.
And we have to get out of our heads. Like, it's unfortunate, but most of us feel that way. Like, I told a story one time about how my son had a remote control car, and it wasn't a regular looking remote control. It was black, and it could possibly be mistaken for something else. That was my fear inside my head. There may not have been anything that happened, but because of what I see on TV and because of fear that's been embedded in our brains, we think something is going to happen. But there were times where if you were walking down the street as a black person, they would catch you and find out who you belong to. So there is, like, it's exactly what you're saying. There's a big difference. But we feel like being black is a crime. We have all these statements, walking while black, all these, and we have these fears. And some of the fears are just fears. And it's not actuality. It's a possibility that it might happen because it's happened to somebody else. But a lot of our fears are fears, and we don't have the opportunity to be great because we're afraid of what somebody's going to do to us. There were times when just existing was a crime. And we say that same way now, but it's not the same. Us existing is not a crime. In the eyes of people, it may be a crime, but in actuality, there were times where existing as a black person and not being, doing the work of a master was a crime. Like, you could not leave and do anything. We can go wherever we want to, but a lot of us don't want to go anywhere because we still, it's the epigenetics, and we know this, but we are the only people that can control how we move forward. Because we still think the same way slaves do or enslaved people do. Our brains haven't changed. Even though our body and our rights and everything, our brains haven't changed. And that is going to what all three of us are saying. Like, that is what it is. When our brains change, because of the way you raised us, Daddy, we don't think like other people do. We don't see ourselves as disadvantaged and disenfranchised. We don't see that. We believe that we can do anything, go anywhere, be anybody, have anything. And while we may understand what's going on in society, we don't have that in us because of the way we were raised. We don't have it in us to feel like because we're black, we can't do certain things. And I understand sometimes that it is the way that we look also. I'm not an idiot, and none of us are stupid, but there's still people that look like us that have that mentality. So it's not even just, and there's people that don't look like us that don't have that. I mean, they have the same mentality as us. So it still is, you know, I realize that sometimes it is the way that we look and the way that we talk and everything else. I understand that. But you still, even if no matter what your pigmentation is, you still have to believe that you can go anywhere and do anything and not have to worry about what's going to happen to you. And I refuse to raise our son and make it seem like he can't go somewhere because of how he looks, because he's going to be 7 feet tall and he has dreads and he's brown skin. Like, I'm not going to make him feel like he can't go somewhere because of how he looks and who he is. That's not going to happen. I've had conversations with people that are afraid to leave their neighborhood because they're black. I refuse to raise somebody and have that in his head. He can go wherever he wants to go. If he wants to go to Paris, he said today he wanted to go to Italy. You were there.
Yeah.
He wanted to go to Italy. So, 9 years old.
But that's such a sad mentality to have, to feel like you're trapped in your neighborhood because of fear of what is going to happen when you leave your neighborhood. Think about
what could
everything
possibly happen. Like,
Yeah, think about everything that they're missing because they're
right.
they feel trapped within their neighborhood and they don't realize that if they click their feet three times, they go back home. Like it's so
right,
crazy
right.
that but it exists and there's so many people
out
there that feel like that.
I've talked to them. I know that that's how some people feel. Like I've gotten into disagreements with people. Like, you could feel like that if you want to, but I'm not going to feel like that.
Yeah.
It is bad.
Wow. But,
the
you
one
know,
thing
from
I've learned,
this, we have to grow.
Yeah. We have to grow and
family,
we have to want to grow.
The one thing I've learned is that each of us is born with the potential and with a divine purpose to achieve something in life. We are here to achieve. We weren't just born. We were born with an assignment, whatever that may have been. And life is meant for each of us to study what is our contribution. And we're all born with a Judas and a Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, and they'll always be within you. You're never going to get rid of them. You're just going to put them in their place and ensure that the Messiah rises to be able to achieve what you were born to do. And there are people born to try to stop you. I realize we're all given cards at birth. Nature, the Creator, gives us cards. Some of us are born with very good hands, and some of us are born with very bad hands. But I have seen people born with very bad hands, such as someone like Malcolm X, who horrible things happened to him throughout his life as a person of African descent, from his father to his mother being put into a hospital, to his family being broken up, to him going on to the streets. Oh, you know Malcolm's story. Yet look how he rose. He told Mr. Trotsky when he was in middle school he wanted to be a lawyer. Mr. Trotsky told him, you know, no, that's not a job for, I'm not going to use the word, but for a person of African descent. Yet Malcolm, by the end of his life, for the African-American community, when he was going to bring the United States before the United Nations for human rights violations. Not only did Malcolm X become a lawyer, he became our attorney general. And that's the cornerstone to the story about Malcolm, despite and in spite of everything that happened to that brother. His wish in the book to become a lawyer, he not only fulfilled it, he excelled at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not given a good hand to play life. And yet there are others that were given perfect hands, beautiful hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people given very bad hands that win the game. I've also seen people that were given very good hands lose. So the object of my story is it's not the cards you were given in life. It's how you play them.
Mm-hmm.
How you going to play your cards?
That's like spades. You can have the best hand in the world, but if you don't know what to do with it, you're going to lose.
Bottom line, and that's life. You're given certain things in life. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with it? And it's not the dealer. And it's not the people you playing against.
Mm-hmm.
It's what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do after all that we know? How long are we going to continue believing we cannot achieve our greatest thoughts? Malcolm did it. And he's not the only one. I've known others that do it. Brothers and sisters have risen to levels of excellence, and their experiences have been very challenging. And your generation, with your boldness with your knowledge and with your wisdom, where Caress is and what he's observing and what he's seeing, hey, is not the way it used to be. Grab a hold of it and fulfill your destiny, family. Whatever it is that you're supposed to do, ain't nobody can do it like you. You might do the same thing someone else does, but nobody does it like you. You bring a flavor to what you do. And it's not in terms of competition. It's about cooperation. Because the only thing better than one black billionaire, come on now, help me out.
Is a thousand.
Oh, do I have that song? Wait, the, they're the same hue as you. Do I have that song? Do I have it?
You're
not prepared.
I don't think I have it.
Well, we can always play that.
All right, so we're going to take a break and play that song. I got it right here.
All right.
I got it
all
right
let's
go. Yeah. Oh, we'll be right back.
Hit it.
And always.
Super Bowl goals. My wife in the crib, me and the kids liquid gold. We in a whole different mode. Kid that used to pitch bricks can't be pigeonholed. I cooked up more chicken when the kitchen closed. We gon' reach the Philly first. I told my wife the spiritual shit really worked. Hum through a law, I run through them all. Hobie's home, all these phonies come to a halt. All this old talk left me confused. You'd rather be old rich me or new you. And old niggas, now stop acting brand new like Tupac ain't have a nose ring too. Nobody wins when the family feuds, but my stash can't fit in the Steve Harvey suit. I'm clear why I'm here, how about you? Ain't no such thing as an ugly billionaire, I'm cute. Pretty much, if anybody getting handsome checks, it should be us. Fuck rap, crack cocaine, nah we did that. Black owned things, 100% black owned champagne. And we merrily, merrily eating off these streams. Y'all still drinking Perrier Juvet, but we ain't get through to you yet, What's better than one billionaire, two? Especially if they from the same hue as you. Y'all stop me when I stop telling the truth. Forget it. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Can I get an amen from the congregation? I'll fuck up a good thing if you let me. Let me alone, Becky. A man who don't take care of his family can't be rich. I watched Godfather, I missed that whole shit. My consciousness was Michael's common sense. I missed the karma that came as a consequence. Niggas busting off through the curtains cause she hurting. Kate losing the babies cause their future's uncertain. Nobody wins when the family feuds. We all screwed cause we never had the tools.
That's it.
That album was one of my favorite albums, period. Period. It's one of my favorite albums ever. Period. And it just so happens that it's my number two. Not my number two, but four. It's my number as well. Four is my number. And that was one of my favorite albums ever. That's like a blueprint for success if you listen to that album. But we don't want to hear. We rather hear crazy stuff that we're not learning from. But we'll learn one day. It's like you told us that story about the dog. When it hurts bad enough, we'll get up.
That's it. That's it. And for right now, I'm working with the people that are ready to get up.
Exactly. 3 out of 100.
And I'm working with the people that never was down there.
Right.
But this is where we are right now, family. And I have great faith in the younger generation. I have great faith. I've been around so long. I've watched this. I saw this. A change is not only going to come, a change has come.
It's
and
inevitable.
Even when Sam Cooke, when he sang that song, a change is going to come. A change had already come. In fact, what made him write and sing that song was the change that had come.
Mm.
And that's why you see them doing what they're doing, because they know that their time of domination is over. And they're trying to hang on. This is how they so pitifully hate their own children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing they're doing is, as long as I can survive, like what the Attorney General said under the former president, he said, by the time you find out what I did, I'll already be dead.
Mm. Oh, my God. Oh.
So he doesn't care about his children, his grandchildren, the world that they're creating. They don't care. As long as I can get through this, it's a Cronus complex. I'll do better than my father, and I'll make sure my children don't do better than me. That's what they've done. They've set in motion a civilization where their grandchildren are going to pay a price for what they've done. The sins of the parents visit the children.
And that is true savagery.
And they don't care.
Yeah, but that's who they are. No, they don't.
No, right.
It's not about morality. It's about winning. That's what they're telling you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about morality.
Mm-hmm.
Morality to them is weakness. To be honorable is weak. Don't give me nothing about no honor. It's about winning.
It's so inhumane. It's just...
But that's who they are. They are the virus. They are the original virus of the human family. But our time is now, and our time is here. And my question to us, to the younger generation, what you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What you going to do?
It's not about getting ready. It's about staying ready.
Yes, and it's about giving birth to children who are born ready so they never have to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Be proactive and not reactive. We can't react every time something happens. We have to be proactive so it doesn't happen in the first place.
That's it. It is about prevention, not cure. There we go.
Hey,
exactly.
Wait a minute.
But listen. That's what makes the money, though. That's what makes the money. If everybody was healed, we wouldn't be. There'll be people out of a job. If everybody was healthy, there'd be people out of a job. If everybody was mentally stable, there'd be people without a job. So if black people were free and knew we were free, there'd be a lot of people without a job.
That's right.
Because, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I appreciate what you do so much, Daddy, because you educate people, and that is a consistent thing that we're always going to need, because we can always learn. You don't do what a lot of other people do. You don't put us in a box. You make sure that whatever you say, we want to learn from it. So even if we become healed, you'll still always be valuable to society. There are people, and a lot of them look like us. There are people that their sole purpose is to keep us angry because they make money off of our anger. And those, to me, I prefer a white person, like a racist white person, over somebody like that, because at least I know where they're coming from. At least I know that you hate me, and I know what your agenda is. But there's a lot of black people that they'll come and act like a leader, but their sole purpose is to keep us angry so that we do not progress. And they call themselves
But that's what they're taught.
They call themselves pro-black. I know. But there's so many of us flock to them. Like, what is that, the Messiah?
Because
they
know the key words. They know the algorithm.
Right.
It's all about
what is
going to make, like, they teach you that. What is going to make you irreplaceable? What can you say to somebody to get them? And these are individuals that obviously are searching and looking, and these are key words. These are predators. Like, I equate them to predators.
Yeah.
They know the words to
they,
use.
They are.
For a broken individual to feel whole again. They know how to break them. They know how to build them up, and they know how to break them. And it's this now that we have to teach each other, this person's not good for you. This person is not for you. This is not going to help you. This is not going to better you. But it all begins at birth. It begins before birth. If we're taught at a young age, stranger danger, this is going to be, people are going to come after you, and you know they're going to try to market you. They're going to see who, you know, they're going to take it step by step and see who they can get to, who they can prey on. You know, if we're taught how to find the signs, we don't have to try to avoid the potholes because we know where the potholes are. So we have to, as a society, look out for one another and say, you know, people may come to you and build you up. Like, you know, if you're looking good, you leave in a house, you already know before you leave the house that you look good. So all the compliments that come after are cherries on top. It's not going to be the make or break of how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm. But it's sad.
So we got to build each other up.
But it should be what you're saying. But it's really sad because there's things that I won't even say because I know people are going to judge me. Because you have to stay on code. Like, there's black codes, and you have to say, you can't say this. You have to say, you have to feel this way. And if you don't feel this way, then you're not black enough. You already don't look black. You already don't sound black.
Well, who cares?
You don't look black. I agree with you because I don't care because I'll say whatever. But that's how people treat you. People will treat you, and that's the whole concept of cancel culture is disgusting. Like, for somebody, like, you, nobody's perfect, first of all. But for you to say to somebody, if you don't feel this, if you don't feel like every other black person feels, if you don't agree with this, that means you're not black enough. And there's people that won't talk about it because they feel like they're going to get judged for not being black enough. Like, it is, and then they don't even want to be part of black culture anymore, or the movement, or whatever you want to call it. They don't want to be part of it because they get judged anyway. So we're all chasing our tails, and we need to get off the hamster wheel and start thinking for ourselves. Because even all these people, like, if you see all these people on social media, they have one person that they follow, and they follow them like sheep. And they, like, if this person mm-hmm. posts something in their profile, everybody posts it in their profile, and then they start calling them. And I'm like, you have no brain at all. Like, everybody does not have to think the same way. And just because you think differently doesn't make you any less black. The fact that I think the way that I do and I'm black means that I think like a black person. I don't have to think like every other black person in the world. I have a brain, and I'm not a sheep. And, I literally have gotten accosted virtually on social media for having a brain and having my own thoughts. And it's ridiculous. But it's the thing that's holding us back is that we really, like, I don't want to, if anybody hasn't seen it, I don't want to ruin it. But it's like the end of the movie Us. That's what we look like. I'm not going to say what happens. So if you didn't see it yet, I mean, I guess you should have seen it by now. But once you see it, that's us. And once you lose your leader, like once you don't have a leader anymore, we don't know what to do. We have no idea what to do if we don't have a leader. And that's unfortunate because we should all be able to – it doesn't take one person to make things great. All of us have to contribute what we contribute. We shouldn't be looking to somebody else to fix our problem because nobody else is going to – because if you have to look for somebody else to fix your problem, most likely they're going to keep you in your problem so that they can benefit off of your problem.
And it's sad that it's like that because in a society, you're supposed to teach a person, so therefore you don't necessarily have to always be present for them to feel that confidence in the decisions that they're making. So, for example, for me, I'm not supposed to have a lifelong client. I'm supposed to teach them the tools that they may need in life in order for them to be able to, you know, get through without needing somebody else's assistance. Like, my job is not to keep a client for 40 years. Like, it's to build them up, to strengthen them, to make them understand that everything that – all of the answers that they need are within them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do. We have to, you know, we have to be righteous. We have to go back to the Wakanda way. We have to, you know, we have to do things for the right of it, not because you make money off of it. And that's where that's where the trouble is, because everybody's worried about the money versus worrying about helping and healing people.
We have to get beyond the land of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that mm-hmm. you realize you can achieve. I don't care what people say. There are folk that do not agree with my perspective of my opinions and my ideas. And simply, I understand, but I don't care. You have to have the strength of your convictions to
yep.
believe what you believe, to stand for what you stand for, no matter what anybody else says. And I'm speaking in terms of, as you say, Kandike, to be righteous. You know, I'm not saying that you stand on principles that are not correct. What I'm saying is maybe it is because I'm at the age where I am. I've gone through what I've gone through. I've made my errors, and I've attempted to correct them. And the one thing that I've come to realize is if you really believe in what you believe, it doesn't make a difference what anybody else says about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Own your footprints. Own them. And by that I mean have strength of your convictions. You know, other people, they just don't have it to guide your life. I'm responsible for my life. You're responsible for your life.
Mm-hmm.
When all is said and done, you are the one that will answer. It is your heart that will be weighed against the feather of Ma'at,
mm-hmm.
not the person that told you what to do. And so you must own your footprints. You have
mm-hmm.
to know your heart and live according to your heart and stand for it, no matter what other people say about you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to live by that. You have to believe in that. You have to believe in yourself. And we're living in a world that's coming up out of oppression. We're coming up out of it. That's why they're trying to down pressure so hard, because they know that the game is up now. We see you. We peeped your card. Now we know. And so now what are they doing? They lie, steal, cheat right in front of you.
Yeah.
Right in front of you. And they know that you know that they're lying, stealing, and cheating. And you
but
know that they
know. Them anyway.
But that's because we're still living in the land of Oz.
Mm.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more ways thinking. Time for thinking ahead. That's Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. This is our time. This is your time. Your generation's time to do this. These old-ass men, get up off it. It's time for them to get out of town. You've had your time. You're old. You're falling asleep in Congress now. And I mean that literally. You're falling asleep in the Supreme Court. Retire. Get out. Your time is up. It's time for new thinking now. It's time for your generation's thinking. There are people, young people, your friends, colleagues, people of European descent, who now are coming to realize this world will not survive like this.
Something is wrong.
But the thing is, these old-ass men that are making these decisions are going to be dead when the price is paid for the harm that they're doing. They don't care about their younger generation. They don't care about their children, their grandchildren. They don't care about the world. They're saying, as long as I can get over, like the Attorney General said, by the time you figure out what I did, I'll be dead in 20 years.
That's crazy.
That's how they feel. That's what they're doing. They don't care about their children. They hate their children as much as they hate black people, women, Asian, LGBTQ. They hate because they hate. They don't care about their children. And in the African tradition, every civilization, everything that my generation, my age group, let's say even your age group, somewhere between when you start working, after school, things like that, let's say 21, from 21 to 60, 70, everything you're supposed to do is to make it better for your children, not worse. Everything I do so that educators will be better than me. Not like me, better than me. Care about their future because they're going to be dead. So they don't care.
That's terrible.
But even white folk got to wake up to this. Even the younger generation of Europeans. Put your grandpa in Congress in a senior citizen's home and take over his job to make a better world. And I'm telling us, get involved in everything. Get involved in solar power. The future energy of the planet. These folk are crazy. They cray-cray. And you know, cray-cray is a little bit beyond being crazy. Cray-cray is when you should have been institutionalized 10 years ago. And if you kept acting like that, you should have been on meds 6 years ago. That's cray-cray to me. And that's what they are. They are cray-cray. They are the virus of the human family. We need a vaccine against white supremacy. Well, we need a prevention, not a cure.
Well.
So Juneteenth the imaginary day when black folk found out they were free. So let me tell you this about Juneteenth 2021. I'm like the captain that came in and signed the papers telling black folk in Galveston that they were free. Let me give you a document and tell you, you were born free. And the only reason why you think you might not is because you're living in the land of Oz. You were born with a brain, born with a heart, born with courage, and you were born in your home. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise.
That's right.
I'm arrest that. I'm arrest that right there.
I think that's how we got to go out.
And there it is.
I wish I had caught all that in writing. We have a new Twitter. So if anybody has Twitter, whenever you say, that's why I asked you to repeat the comment that you made earlier. So whenever one of us says something that just is just amazing, I'm gonna try to catch it and put it on the Twitter. So if anybody has Twitter, the Twitter is the @DI, S as in Sam, C as in cat, INTHE, B as in boy, LKR, M as in Mary. So that's where the Kabbaisms will be located.
Do that one more time, Sasha.
Send them off. D as in David.
Do that address one more time.
It's D as in David, S as in Sam, C as in cat, N as in Nancy, THE. So it's T like Tom, H. E as in Edward, B like boy, LKRM. Did you get it?
I got it. You can do it one more time. Then that's committed to memory.
Okay. DISCINTHEBLKRM.
Okay. That's like discussions in the black room.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly,
abbreviated form, but
Yeah, but Twitter is interesting. So.
Okay. All right. So hang on, fam. I look forward to the next time we're together.
And I'll put it up in our Instagram so that if anybody wants to follow it and they didn't catch it when I was saying it, I'll put it up there too.
Fantastic.
All right.
Great conversation.
Have a wonderful
Jubilee Day. Have a wonderful Emancipation Day. Have a wonderful Juneteenth Day. But just realize you don't need nobody to free you. You were born free.
That's free.
That's right.
There we go. There we go. And now we're going to end on one of the songs that you mentioned earlier. And Hotep, and have a great day.
Hotep,
fam.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there. Beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know